Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sun.
What's up, everybody? Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are gonna win today, and the Cubbies are going to the World Series, and the parties are on in Chicago, and I assume for the next week there'll be not much work done. So, you know, and it perfectly timed for the very quiet trading we're seeing in the markets. But what are we really seeing? And I think we're seeing a whole bunch of nothing. I think what you're seeing here is a market that is stubbornly holding higher, or, you know, up above support resistance. I think that there's a lot of little issues that are keeping investors, traders kind of at bay. And, you know, hey, we're not going to fight. We're not going to force. We cannot tell the markets what to do. We talk about that often. So we have to sit back and relax. You know, again, there's nothing we'd like to do more than trade. But if you can't, if there's nothing to trade, then you don't force the trade. This is something that many traders have a problem with, is just sitting back. Okay. And, you know, it's hard to sit back, number one, but B, it's also a challenge because, you know, like on the trading floor, I could just walk away and not be involved. Okay. Now, you know, you're sitting in front of a machine, you got buttons to push, you want to push them. But in the meantime, I guess apparently the technicals certainly indicate that the market should start a potential sell-off at some point here. But again, we cannot force markets to do what they don't want to do. And right now, they still want to sit here. And, you know, every time you see some sellers, immediately the buyers step in. And until that changes, and, you know, that's really been the pattern for the last 7 years, basically. You know, sell-offs are met with immediately with buyers. They don't allow markets to typically go down very much. Even with the talk of the rate hike from the Fed, you know, nothing really matters right now. And that is something that you should just understand. And this is why I always warn and say to everybody, look, be patient. The markets are going to be there for you, okay? They're not going anywhere. So what we have to do is we have to be patient enough, because we know that, you know, lots of money can be made in very short periods of time when the markets are correct and ready to move. Okay. You know, the lack of volatility, the lack of activity is not something that we can do anything about. So the best objective is to wait back. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of things going on, you know, in the markets right now. We've got a lot of things going on, you know, outside, and nobody's really paying much attention to it. So if we're not going to pay attention to it, then, you know, we have to sit back and wait. Now, again, technically we are, you know, very close. Now, you know, every rally that we see should be sold, because that's where we're at. And we look at a market that looks like it wants to go lower. So, but again, to be aggressive in a market like this is not smart. Okay. And, you know, like this week, we've got some monster earnings coming out, but there's really not a lot to do, because even though the companies can move, do you really want to get involved in a market that doesn't give you the correct, opportunities? And that is always something that should be on your mind. Okay. If I'm right, can I make any money? Okay. And, you know, when I look at it, I always say, hey, you know, let's be relaxed. Let's be patient. Because, again, when the right time comes, when the action comes, we'll be ready to go. You know, but then we look at some of the things that are going around. Okay. and this is always something, you know, to think about. You know, you've got the election coming up. You know, is that what's holding markets back? Okay. You know, we've got for sure a banking crisis coming again. I mean, that's almost 100%. Okay. And then, you know, I mean, is there troubles around? And is that what is propping us up right now for the short term here? Okay. Because of the weakness in other places. Okay. Or are we actually seeing, you know, the start of something? You know, you've got, you know, Jim Chanos, who's, you know, obviously a very smart investor, still shorting. Okay. So, but at the end of the day, you know, we are not the type of traders that can just go ahead and say, okay, well, we're just going to, you know, invest a couple of billion dollars and take a short shot here or a long shot and go. We're going to, you know, have to be, you know, more of the discipline nature and work on it. So what we have to do is we have to wait our turn. It's like waiting, you know, it's like waiting for a ride at Disneyland, right? Or Disney, or whatever the hell it's called. Because, you know, you can't, I can't, you can't, we can't force markets to do what they don't want to do. So now that we see what the activity is like, our job is to sit back and wait and let them, you know, let them go to a level. Let us give us an opportunity, and then we're going to trade, okay? Because, you know, people are going to tell you every day the economic data looks great. Now, I don't see it myself. Do you? I mean, you tell me, is the economic data great? I don't see it. I think we're in one of the biggest piles of crap that we've ever been in. But again, that's not me, okay? That's just, you know, that's just what I see. I mean, I can't. You know, but certainly you cannot tell me that we're growing and that we're in good shape. Now, we might not be as bad shape as I think we're in, but I actually believe that we are in worse shape than I think we're in. Okay. I think that we are in a major crisis. Okay. And again, it doesn't mean the market's going to go down. This is something that has plagued individuals for years. Okay. The stock market and the economy are two completely separate animals, okay? We cannot say with certainty that because the economy is bad, the stock market is going to go down, or because the economy is good, the stock market is going to go up. This is a certainty, okay? Because they are not really related, with the exception of you know, that the companies that are involved. But that does not really take from investors. Okay. And that is something that you have to remember. Okay. That it's not, that's why we are so insistent not to pay attention to the news. Because if you're watching the news, then, you know, you could either be very positive or you could be very negative depending on how you look at it. But at the end of it, what you're finding out is that it has nothing to do with anything. And that really is the bigger key. Okay. Is how do we put ourselves in a position of success? And that position right now, for until proven otherwise, is to be on the sidelines, observing. It doesn't mean you're not investing. It doesn't mean you're not hedging. But as far as being active, you are not going to be overly active in the current conditions, because the current conditions don't warrant activity that says that you should be overactive. The current conditions tell you right now that the best trade is to be on the observation deck. And as long as you learn that, you will find out that in the future and over time, you will make a lot more money by being relaxed and on the sidelines when it's time. And you'll have plenty of time to react to the markets when they are ready to move. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to stop out here for a break. But make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. and download the Bubba Show every day. In the meantime, go to BubbaTrading.com as well. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with the one, the only, the very talented Gene King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, education, everything, and who knows, she's always into something, but she brings good things into life. Jane, what's up?
Oh, hi. I'm just rooting for the Cubs, Todd. I'm just, like, so excited, and, you know, let's, there, I remember a fond memories of going to Wrigley Stadium in college, drinking entirely too much at the Cubby Bear right across the street, and going to a Cubs game, so... I'm excited.
It is exciting, and of course, Chicago is on fire, and you imagine what's going to happen here. I mean, you'll have to take out mortgages to get tickets to go to the game, and they'll have every seat sold because it's a big event. You know, they're a big event. Where the lovable losers are a big event. And if they win, it would be unbelievable. So,
I'm going to have to find a good Cubs bar here in New York. I'm sure there are some, so I'll look for that.
Yeah, there's good Chicago people everywhere. They migrate. They kind of stick together, right?
Yeah, right.
So Jane King, we have we're like the mouse on the wheel in the cage, and we just keep running in circles. It looks like something's going to happen, and it stops. And we had the last debate. What was your take of the last debate?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm still trying to. So let's see. So that one was Tuesday, right? I don't totally understand this craziness about Donald Trump saying that he wants to take a look at the results. Like, maybe I shouldn't be, that the media, like, seized on that and everybody was just, you know, hair on fire, up in arms about it. I was like, he's really answering that question like a business person would answer that question. I mean, you can't possibly anticipate what may happen. We don't know if Russia will be involved. We don't know if it's going to be super close in Florida like it was in 2000 or in Ohio. And to answer that, maybe could have been a little more explanatory, but as soon as he answered, I got what he was talking about. You want to see what the situation is before you make some kind of commitment. I actually think it's kind of a prudent thing to say if the vote is close. But, I'm in the minority in the media when it comes to applying logic to things.
Well, you're in the minority in the media anyways, because the media is no longer the media. They're just an extension of the very far left liberals. I mean, what I find amazing is that, you turn on one channel and they say Trump wins easy. They turn another channel, Hillary, the best debate she ever had. Now, I thought, just personally, my opinion, that she was, I thought they were both okay. I thought they both did what they've done the entire time. And when they didn't want to answer a question, they somehow switched the topic and spun around, as Trump called it. But I didn't think she was very good. I think that it showed that. At the end of the day, that she didn't have the questions that she's had in the past, and she was a little harder. It's a little harder thing to do when you don't have the questions in front of you, right?
Well, I actually thought at the end of the debate, the third one, that I would have called it a draw. I thought Trump was stronger, certainly, than he was in the first debate. She, to me, and she's a preparer. She's always been a good debater. And you can just tell. I mean, she's got all this stuff, like, just cataloged in her brain. But I felt like she looked down a lot. Like, she was reading notes or something. We call it in the TV business note diving. And we're looking down at our notes. And I noticed that more in the third debate than I had in any other debate. She got tougher questions in the third debate than she'd ever had about email and about the Clinton Foundation. It was the first time she was asked about the Clinton Foundation, and she obviously felt very uncomfortable about that. Now, Trump has some good moments. I can do without the nasty woman stuff. I think that, when he said that, I was like, just stop. Like, I mean, I don't know if he just really is, like, purposely trying to, like, alienate females. I mean, it's like he just doesn't care. If he wants to say nasty or crooked, just stick with person, because it's starting with all the other things starting to look like he is kind of anti-woman. So, he's far behind with females. I don't imagine that's going to change in the next few weeks. But I thought at the end of the day, it was a draw and probably didn't change much.
I don't think so either. But let me ask you this now. I believe that he's going to win. Okay. Now, I'm not like I wouldn't go out on a major limb, like I wouldn't bet a lot of money that he's going to win. But I really believe that there's a lot of people that, these polls are, sometimes the pollsters muscle you a little bit. And I don't think anybody in their right mind, especially a woman, wants to admit that she might vote for Donald Trump. But I can't see people voting for Hillary with her baggage. Now, again, I don't, to me, I mean, obviously I like Trump because I want to see the United States turn back into a business, and we actually run it like it's a business instead of running it like it's a, you know, a printing machine. We just keep giving out free money. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are going to vote for Trump that, you know, nobody will admit to it right now, because I think people are embarrassed that they would say, hey, I'm going to vote for Trump.
Well, I guess a few things. So polls, we know, can be, in fact, are getting less accurate as people communicate on cell phones and online polls. Like, some of these polls we see are online, and those are notoriously not accurate. So you can't trust them, and that's why they do the polling averages and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I live in New York City. I mean, nobody here admits they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Somebody asked me once, and this was in the summer, and I said, I kind of think he makes some good points about things, and I don't think I'm ever going to get invited to that cocktail party again.
Right.
But I think it's unfortunate, because I do think he makes some good points about things. I do think trade deals should be renegotiated. And I like the way that he looks at things a little differently than what we've typically seen over the past 30 years. But, you know, this other stuff is overclouded it, and part of it's media driven, part of it's him driven, but it's unfortunate, because I don't think people really, I don't know, people just don't want to argue the actual merits of what each candidate feels and what their policy would really be, because I think when you do that, there's actually some interesting things that he's bringing up. So I don't know, I mean, I we'll see. I mean, if there's ever a year where there's going to be a surprise and something weird is going to happen, it's going to be this year.
And I would agree. I mean, it's been, you know, but we continue to go through, you know, challenge after challenge, and, you know, we're getting earnings, and, you know, we're hearing, you know, on the sums that are supposedly good earnings. Now, Netflix, for example, had earnings this week, and of course they go, and the stock went bananas. I mean, it's up like 25%. But in the meantime,
crazy.
They didn't even beat last year's earnings quarter over quarter, but yet we're rewarding them. And I say, to me, that's a sign of a bad economy, because I think people are foregoing cable TV and other things because, again, you want to pay Comcast or whoever your provider is $150 a month, or do you want to pay Netflix $7 a month? Which would you prefer?
Well, I have both. So I have Verizon Fios, and I actually find both of them fit certain needs. I mean, I really don't watch a lot of cable TV. I watch a lot of news. But I don't watch a lot of other stuff. It's like news or the movie channels. Netflix, we'll try to watch some things, and we have some technical problems with it. So that's frustrating. It takes a long time to set up, which, you know, it's like you got to set up, you got to go to your app store, you got to load things, you got to search for stuff. So, you know, I don't get the whole, like, I like Netflix. I don't love it as a consumer, so I don't get the whole, like, being in love with Netflix. I think everybody's really sold on the whole streaming thing. And, you know, maybe someday we're going to be watching NFL, you know, on our computers, but I think that day is longer in the future than many people think.
Yeah. Now, what are you hearing from home and what's going on? I mean, you know, the commodity markets continue to get thrashed, and there doesn't appear to be a lot of hope right now. Are you hearing anything from home?
No. I really have been, you know, kind of a bad family member. I've talked to my mom, but I talk to them about once a week now, and we haven't really talked about that so much. I know that they're making a lot of great progress harvesting, and there's a lot of farmers who are complete and done with that. But, yeah, the prices are just terrible. And they're not following oil. They're not really jumping with what we've seen with oil prices, which is unusual. Typically, we see them go together, but that's not happening this year.
Well, I think oil – do you think oil is being driven more on fear right now? And I don't think that – my personal opinion is that OPEC – has nothing to do with WTI or our oil, and I think that's why we're at 50 instead of 100, because, you know, normally, you know, a couple of years ago we'd have been flying, but even with all the news, we're only at 52 or 51. I mean, would you say that, do you think that OPEC means anything? Do you think this whole deal means anything?
Well, I think it still means a little bit, but not what it used to, not even close. And but maybe it's just even a psychological meaning anymore of what OPEC does. But yeah, I mean, what has been what truly transformational is what's happened into the energy industry in the past 15 years. I mean, it's just been unbelievable. And I don't think enough Americans really understand what happened. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And what's more amazing is whenever you're on, the time flies by. Jane King, I love having you on. Thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
That was our friend Jane King from Lila Mex Media, the Kachin Report, longtime reporter and on business, and now has a TV show Coast to Coast. And of course, this is the Bubba Show, and you know we always remind you to download the podcast every day from LibertyTalk.fm. You know, obviously, you got to help us help a brother out. Also, go to BubbaTrading.com and do yourself a favor and help yourself get some of the latest news and some of the latest thoughts that we're having, as well as looking at some of the programs that we're offering. But this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Marjorie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, bringing back my guy, my man, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Brings us every Monday, brings us all the stuff we need to know to get ready for the week and try to get profitable. And Matt, it's been a little bit of a challenge, my man. I mean, it hasn't gone anywhere against, but it's not going anywhere for either. This is about the most torturous consolidation I've seen in quite a while, because there is nothing, and we continue to see things just like shrivel up and really do nothing. It's like if you went to sleep on Sunday night and woke up the next Sunday, nothing happened. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, you know, I'm there with you. We're just watching this thing chop. I mean, we have, you know, from my point of view, the way we're looking at it, we've hit you know, the top resistance line that we were looking for, or we came very close back in August. And this very mild move down, yeah, it's just a, you know, it's just a chop fest. Not really much to do about it except for wait.
No, I mean, you got, look at one of the keys I tell everybody, and the key thing, and I write it just about every day because I send out, you know, to my people who participate in my webinars, every day I write to them and I say, hey, look, the only way to trade right now is to be very patient, wait back, and you have to wait for the opportunities. Because one thing you and I both know about the business is you have the opportunity to make a lot of money in a short period of time, but there are a lot of times that there's just nothing to really do, and you have to be ready and not get yourself in trouble while there is nothing to do. What do you think about that?
No, I think that's right. I mean, you know, I think the average is that, you know, 90% of the stock market's move happens in 40 days of the year. So, you know, this is kind of extreme what we've gone through so far. It's what now, 4 or 5 months, but you know, at some point it's going to change, and we just have to prepare for that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it just, like I said, I mean, now I noticed something. You know, you and I have talked a lot about this dumb money, smart money type trade, and at one point we were like, I think as low as 80-20, like 20 was smart, 80 was dumb. Is that about right? Am I remembering that correctly?
The confidence level of the two sides, or
yeah, but you know,
I mean, the smart money is a minority of the trader, sure.
And now it's creeping back closer to, you know, the flat line. I think I looked at the report and it was 41.59 now.
Right. So the commercials, sorry, excuse me, the smart money is 41% confident, and the dumb money is 59% confident. Anything where they tend to go to extremes too, where it'll totally invert, where we'll be at next time we're at a peak, where you think we're going to get a reversal to the downside, you'll want to see dumb money being extremely positive. I mean, they're still more positive now than they have been recently. Going back a few months, it's still a bearish setup is what I'm trying to get at. It could be more bearish. When we're at the bottom, you're going to see smart money confidence really go up and dumb money confidence really go down.
All right. So, again, I get it. And it just, these are just little things, it's obvious, when you tell people you're a trader, you're involved, everybody looks, you're killing it. You're making a fortune. And, we used to go through the same trails everybody else goes through in the business. The difference is that we know how to, stay out and stay patient and not get overly involved when there's not a lot going on. We have to be set up, but we're not going to, it's a big part about discipline and managing what's going on, right? Is that what you do as well?
Yeah, just managing the tedium or I'm not sure what the question was. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you have to manage your money while you're trading. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't get overly involved. I mean, I would assume, and I don't know, your positions exactly, but I would assume that, you might not take a very big position right now because markets are not being actually very cooperative. They're not moving back and forth and up and down. They're just kind of sitting sideways. So you might put on a partial position and waiting to get the rest of it on if the market starts to actually improve that your resolution is correct.
Right, right. Yeah. So, yeah, we're not, we're not heavily, heavily positioned in any direction. But I would say that one way of handling this kind of situation is we know where, massive resistance lies. We know where major support lies. So, in this kind of environment, what we've been doing is trying to sell more options. We're kind of trying to sell option premiums so that we can, at least benefit from decay while we wait. That's kind of one of the ways we've been dealing with it. But as far as having a massive position size, some things we can do that with, whether it be currencies or other or commodities or something else other than the stock market.
Right. I mean, again, there's a lot of things to working and trading, other than just picking the spot you think. I mean, you've got to do a lot of game management, and you're using shorting options as game management. And I don't know if you want to discuss the strategies, kind of strategies that you're using right now, but if you do, great. If not, we'll move on.
Well, here's the thing. As far as that, when we sell options, if you have a top line, look, there's a very low chance we'll get through resistance. Then you can sell calls up at that level. If I'm comfortable selling naked calls, but I don't suggest that for everybody. Often it's a good idea to, sell them as spreads to protect if you're wrong. The reason I'm somewhat comfortable doing that on the upside is because, if you're close enough to your upper Bollinger band and that sort of thing, there's very low likelihood that, that's going to get spiked through. But we're no longer that close to our upper Bollinger band in the S&P, for example. So at this point, you really have to sell, quite a bit out of the money. And you get less rewards for that. But anyway, I'm happy to move on from there.
Yeah, I got you. I mean, it's just something, we always try to bring, all the listeners a view from a professional standpoint. And of course, the VIX futures is still being bought, but not as heavy as before. Does that say anything to you?
The commercials are still holding on to a large VIX position. They've been suffering from it. They've kind of taken the small spikes that we've gotten in volatility. We got up to 18 a little over a week ago. They sold a little bit into that. As we've pulled back into, 13 level, they've been buying back in. So they're managing their volatility position, but the longer that they hold it, the more they suffer from, the rollover, the decay that occurs. So I still would think that they would want, they want to see a volatility event so that they can unload their massive long position.
I would agree. Look, I think everybody wants to see a volatility event, and I think that's part of the problem. We're all waiting for that event, and you know how it is. As they say, a watch pot never boils. But you know, we look around, and of course, the dollar is actually making that run. So now, you said, I believe 99 was your the highest you would see it go, and I said I think it was going to go to a buck. Either way, but. Is there much room, in, as far as you're concerned, in the dollar to the upside now, or you think it's pretty much built in now?
I think it's, you know, it could you know, inch higher. Some of the indicators are very overbought now. It's going to have to, if it's going to inch higher, it's going to have to, you know, pull back a little bit, then move up a little bit, pull back. It's not going to be, you know, another straight shot up this way I'm looking at it. And yeah, it could get to a buck. I think here between 98 and 99, there's a better chance it'll probably die in there and then, fall back. And then, you know, once it can, you know, have a chance to relieve the overbought condition in its indicators, then, you know, then we can have another rally to the upside.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, it's, you know, there's so many things that are sitting, and of course, you know, you called for 99, and I guess the high was 98.13, so that's pretty close to your target. Now, is that where you'd start looking to take a short position in that, or are you still trying to wait in a little bit?
No, we've taken a short position a little bit early. We started at 98, you know, just because I feel fairly strongly that, I mean, I know we're at resistance, and I know we've got, you know, the next resistance is up at 102. There's actually another round a buck as well. So we're starting to enter into the resistance zone. And the other thing that I'm paying attention to, besides the indicators, besides the price patterns, the commercials are being very aggressive about their shorting. They've, you know, really ramped up their, I think they were at net 18,000 contracts short 3 weeks ago. Now they're about 45,000 contracts, or maybe a bit more than that. The last 3 days weren't in the last COT report, and we had a lot of movement to the upside. So I assume that at this point, they've probably just about tripled their short position in the dollar. And this is a high, and this is a, we talked about this last week. This is a very concentrated position. Four banks are making this this very aggressive effort at shorting.
No, I get it, and of course they're kind of even hedging against the possibility of probably a hike. And you know, there's a lot going on, but yet of course as we opened up, there's really nothing going on. But we always got our guy Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and you got to check him out. I mean, the guy's been pretty much spot on all the markets all the time, and you know, nobody's perfect 100%, but certainly this is as close as I've seen. It's always good to have him give his views and his opinions. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as you know, make sure when you miss an episode, you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download not only the Bubba Show every day, but the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And also check out BubbaTrading.com. We're going to check out here for a break, and we will be back at the break with more from Matt Demeter and his gold special and some of the other things he's seeing. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter. You know, Matt, it only took me a year to get your name exactly right, but I'm pretty good at it now, right?
You're excellent. It's great.
But this is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And, of course, Matt, you know, gold has been kind of, it seems like it kind of found for a short period of time, probably here a little bit of a base, but I think it has more lower to go, as I know you do. Tell us about the gold special and what you're going to do.
Okay, so, you know, we don't believe that gold has bottomed. You know, the lows that we saw in December and January are not the lows, in at least in my opinion. We have a very strong target support line that is quite a bit lower. And, you know, the objective of the gold bottom call is what we call it. We're gonna send out an email and a text when we get close to our target. And, you know, will give us a precise price level to that we're going to be buying at. And we have, as far as the gold special goes, we have to be right within 3% of that price. That's where gold has to bottom. And we have to have a rally of 20%. If both things happen, then we'll charge $49. Otherwise, it's free. It's free to sign up. And, you know, we'll see if we're right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, look, I will say that based on the big calls you've made in the past, you're probably going to be right. Now, again, I hope it gets to your target because I think you will be right. And it's the same call you made in the bonds. I mean, you know, the 30-year bonds were trading at 177, and they went down to 161. That was a pretty good call when you called the top of the interest rate market. So I think that, you know, we're going to be celebrating this call. Again, obviously, we'll have to be patient and wait for it, but that's all cool. We will wait for it. So, you know, crude oil is begrudgingly, again, very stubbornly holding up here. I know you're bearish crude. What do you think? What's your take on crude here now?
Well, you know, we've got a resistance. We touched our first resistance line, or came very, very close, at about 52, roughly 52.20 in the December futures. Can that level be broken? Yeah, it can be. And then the next level up is 56, and that's declining by about 10 cents per day, just as the 52.20 target is declining by about 10 cents per day. They're both declining. It's a matter of time. Like if we shoot up, you know, straight away, if we break this first resistance, then yes, we could get to 56. But if it takes a month or two, we're talking about, you know, really just a chop fest up at this level. That's also possible. So given where we are, I prefer to be short. We've already put on some shorts where we are. We've also shorted some calls up above the 56 level, and which is another level where I'm willing to get short, to add to shorts. So that's the game plan there. You know, long term, I think oil is going to struggle. And if you look at what the commercials are doing, they've ramped way back up again in their short positions.
And of course, you got to be thrilled that USO reversed split, so it's back in the 30s. That's got to make you a happy camper.
Yeah, that, USO? Or?
Yeah, USO. That's what you use, isn't that, when you're short?
Yeah. I think it's in 1150 or so. I've been using that ETF. It's a good ETF because you get a little bit of decay out of it because of the roll that process that goes on in the underlying futures. And we've been selling $12 calls because that's a good level for us to add to our short position.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, we've now seen some reasonable action in some of the other commodity spaces. Of course, the grains, you know, continue to try to work higher. Wheat, you know, had a little bit of a slide week, but wheat's been pretty powerful, not powerful, but pretty good. And corn broke above that level you were looking at. You know, I talked about that 345 and popped higher. What are your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I have to admit, you know, the strength in corn, you know, I wouldn't say surprised me, but it did. It was impressive. And, you know, that, I'm not sure how much that has left in it, but I think it's got a little bit left of the upside. Soybeans, you know, a little more bearish soybeans, but you know, again, I think wheat is one of the few that's at least on the indicators pretty bombed out. That'd be my where I'm more interested in potentially putting on a long. I'm still, you know, skeptical about corn and soybeans for the, you know, medium to long term. So I'll need to see. My charts are more definitive about the look of wheat.
All right. Well, no, I agree. I mean, I think wheat's going back over five. That's my personal. Yeah. That's my opinion. I may be wrong. I've been wrong a billion times before. So this wouldn't be the first. It wouldn't be a party. But that's kind of what we talk about being disciplined. And of course, you know, you've been pretty good on the meats, and now they've started to move. You know, I know you don't follow this up, but they had the cattle on feed report after the close on Friday. And I know that, you know, you're looking at the chart, but we did, you know, I always believe that they kind of build things in ahead of time. But I think that from my views, the bottoms may be in both live and feeders or in fat cattle. What do you think?
No, we're definitely in agreement there. I don't follow the feeders, but I do look at live cattle, and you know, as we talked about, you know, I think the bottom was in right around 96. We were targeting 95. 96 is you know, basically close enough. If we got to move back down, I would still think that 95 would be the, you know, pretty much the bottom. So we got long really on Monday of last week, and you know, so far so good. We've had a reasonable bounce so far, and I think it will probably continue much higher. As far as hogs, going, you know, over to hogs, that may have a little bit more downside. But I would think that the at this point, the risk reward, you know, is going to be better being long than being short. Although, you know, again, there may be in the short term, there may be a little bit more downside.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, obviously, it's certainly chugging along the bottom line. And of course, you made the magic words, which risk reward. I mean, certainly, maybe you don't want to you probably wouldn't want to short them here, even if you're not ready to buy them. That would be my view. I mean, I would not short them down here. You know, again, I'm not looking for that type of trade. I don't want to put that much risk on because I think that I have a much better opportunity either to buy them or to wait for the right opportunity to buy them. But I think there's a much bigger move to the upside than there's the downside from here. I mean, you know, at $40, where are they going, right? I mean, it's just, you know, that's how I look at it. You know, so how is your view of, you know, obviously the Canadian dollar has a big relationship to gold, I mean to oil. Right.
Right.
Would you use or do you use the Canadian as part of a way to play oil as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of for me, you know, confirmation of, you know, what are we going to, you know, see in oil? But, you know, because they have been fairly well correlated. But recently, you know, they really haven't. I mean, you know, we had a big move up in oil over the past few weeks. And really the Canadians, you know, kind of the Canadian dollar's weakened, you know, relative to the US dollar. But, you know, we have to keep in mind that the dollar's been on a rally, you know, been in a big rally mode. So, you know, for right now, I'm staying kind of neutral on the Canadian dollars. There's no backdrop with the commercials either. They're neutral. The chart I'm looking at, I'm looking at dollar, USD Canadian dollar chart, and I'm seeing a high right around 138, and a potential low right around 118. So it's a big spread. It actually suggests that going further out, you know, more medium long term, that the Canadian dollar is going to strengthen. So after we get, you know, pullback in oil, who knows? We might, you know, might get another big rally.
All right. Well, yeah. Again,
I mean, I'm trying to figure out, you know, that relationship. You know, assuming it continues to hold up, we'll see.
Well, something that you probably don't watch, but I've noticed that. excuse me, the premiums in oil are kind of shrinking as you go out. And so to me, this looks more like a little bit of a fear oil trade, which would make sense that the Canadian isn't necessarily participating so much because of that. But you know, we'll see. Hey, you know, Matt, it's. Obviously, you got to go to work every day. You got to be ready to go. And, of course, that's what makes your stuff so good. It's very definitive, and it brings us right down into being ready to where we need to get out if we're wrong. And, as always, a pleasure to have you on.
Always great to be here.
This was or is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Go to his website, check out his gold call, and check out the rest of his stuff. Interesting and very professional about just, you know, keeping your emotions out. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.